At the end of the 19th century, we thought we had it pretty much figured out. There was a time in which people started to really rely a lot on science and scientific investigation, which is good, but to look at the world around us and to try to make sense of it. And by the end of the 19th century, there was a lot of progress that had been made. People were really coming to profound understandings about things, and it was a common belief, particularly amongst the scientific community and other communities, like, we're close. We got this figured out. It won't take us long. Maybe a few more years, right? And that was, right at the 1800s, rolling into the 1900s. And then those of you who are kind of, I don't want to say with us at the beginning of the 1900s, things change. I just stumbled over that. I'm sorry. That would have been a good place for a joke. I didn't have a joke there, so just work with me, right? But for sure, how we thought we had it figured out was not the case. There was a lot of things that happened in the midst of the earlier part of the 20th century that reshaped everything. The Spanish flu. We'd forgotten about the Spanish flu until COVID came around, right? But the Spanish flu radically transformed society and how it was understood that plagues would work and impact things. We had seen awful things in the world before, but that, oof. And then World War I, right? The war to end all wars. And then there was this clerk in Austria who was just kind of working a side hustle, doing the clerk kind of things during the day, but at night was interested in physics and started writing papers. And that young man, Einstein, changed everything. Actually took the way that Newtonian physics worked and turned it on its head. People, thought that they understood and they did not understand. And even as Einstein was proposing all these things just changed radically. This is why we have, in part, why we have nuclear fusion bombs. It changed a lot. And the hubris that we held on to, we got this figured out. I'm always nervous around experts. I've been called as an expert witness for testimony in courts, and so I was always humbled by that experience. I'm nervous around experts because many times there's a lot known, but there's stuff that we still are discovering. In physics, there's this idea of quantum entanglement, or Schrödinger's cat, or the uncertainty principle. All of those, are still things that hold a great deal of mystery inside of them. How you can look at something, and by the very act of looking at something, the very act of making an observation actually changes the thing that you're looking at. What is going on with that, right? How does that make sense? On a more practical level, there are things that we still struggle with to make sense of that are unfathomable mysteries. Like, how do you fold a fitted sheet? Has anyone figured that out? A few of you are masters of mystery. Me personally, how do you make a decent pancake? All right. I have been forbidden from ever making pancakes in my own house. That is a 35-year-old ban, and it is lifetime. I will never make a pancake again in my house because it's either like you can't eat it or it looks like it was splattered onto the wall, right? One of the two, but ugh. All right. So, you with me? There are things that we don't have a complete understanding about. There are things that we're still working through into mystery. And honestly, the philosophy of the statistics that we use to analyze scientifically things understands that. There's a probability that you're missing something. If you look at what they're trying to do and the assumptions that are made, there's always the assumption that you might be missing something. This is something that you're not really kind of getting. Which is a beautiful, beautiful reminder of the need for humility, but also the need to understand that there's something much greater than me. The passage that Charlie just read for you is absolutely one of my most favorite passages. Rejoice in the Lord, it says. You know, rejoice. Give thanks to God and what God has done. But also understand this. I'm going to read you a passage again. Charlie did a great job, but this translation, I think, helps for me. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, yes, and find joy in Him. Be known for your gentleness and never forget the nearness of our God. And don't worry. Whatever is going to come, just tell God every detail. And the peace of God that no one understands will come to you. No, don't worry. Just tell Him every detail. And His peace will come to you. Our scripture says, God is mystery. We certainly have the face of God in the way things have presented itself to us in nature, the divine at work in lots of different ways. We see the presence of God in the person and the work of Jesus. Right? Interesting, we don't even have a picture of Jesus. We don't even have a physical description of Jesus, right? But we have Jesus who comes to us. And we have the Spirit, which is at work in the world in wild and unpredictable ways, inside of people that you never would have thought would have been good enough for the Spirit to show up in, and there they are, right there working, right? God is mystery. And the work of that is to first recognize that. And then as you are a person of faith, as you and I try to exercise our work as people of faith, to lean into that. The scripture says, rejoice, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, find your joy in Him, be known for your gentleness. Okay, so act out in that joy by providing gentleness, by acting with compassion and kindness to the people around you. And never forget the nearness of our God, that God is right there with us, even as we experience heartache and pain, even as we experience uncertainty, even as we try to make sense of what's happening. My daughter was on a mission trip this last week in Honduras, and she had been on mission lots of different times, but found herself by herself without mom and dad. Yeah, without mom and dad, and also having to understand things in new ways. When she got on the plane to come home yesterday, there was an hour and a half delay because they had to get a lady and a dog off the plane. You can imagine the joy in all that. And there she was in the midst of being in an airport in another country trying to get home and being reminded that God was right there. This is, we have experienced physical heartaches, economic upheaval, and God has been there. We don't know exactly how God moves or how God makes decisions about this or that. We're not going to always. Sometimes it's going to be really clear. Sometimes it will seem like, oh, that's what God had in mind. But oftentimes, the best we can do is, I hope that you are here. That's what I'm hanging my hope and prayers on. Now, what Paul says to the Philippians is, you know, hold on to that hope. Be known for your gentleness. Remember the nearness of our God. And don't worry. Okay? Now, worry is a really interesting word here. Now, we all have worries. Let's just be honest about that. There's anxiety that kind of creeps into us about, oh, what's going to happen? How is this going to happen? What would be the thing that would happen if this happens, right? Interesting how worry kind of keeps us in the future. It locks us into what is possible. Now, maybe it's a little bit referenced to our experience in life. We should be careful about that. The last time I went over that bump in the road, my tires got a little wobbly, all right? So watch out. But then there's worry that just is massive and consuming and takes us in places that won't happen. We don't know that. We have to experience it to get through it. And still, Paul says, set that worry aside. Set that obsession about the future aside. Remember Irma Bombeck? Do y'all remember reading Irma Bombeck years ago? I'd forgotten about her until I found this quote, which is beautiful. It's not really exactly clear that she wrote this the first time, but I love it. It says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Ain't that the truth? And don't worry. Whatever is going to come, just tell God every detail. Open yourself, open your heart, open those fears and worries and hopes to God. Speak them. You don't have to kind of like guess around them. You don't have to kind of worry about, am I saying the right words? Just speak them. You know, that's prayer. Tell God every detail. And what happens? What does it say? And the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding will guard your hearts, will come to you and guard your hearts and minds. That mind that wants to zoom on to the future, that heart that is desperately afraid of being crippled, God will guard your hearts in ways that you can't figure out. Ain't that the truth? So this is a promise. This is a promise for faithful people to hold on to that very love that says, I am with you, and together we will go through this. So as we remember well as a country, those men and women who have gone through, as we remember well as a country and as people, the ways that we have made it through, in ways that we can't figure out, He's with us. Thanks be to God for that.